Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you're helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer. Brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another edition of Beer Nuts. This episode's been a long time coming. First of all, it's the first time we're all together in the same room since probably that Brew Day episode we did way back in, I want to say February, but yeah, with me from MichiganBeerGuide.com is JR.
Happy to be here.
Uncle Pete is back with us in the flesh.
All right, good to be here, everybody.
Dugout.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Andy. Are you back? All right. And yeah, we're doing a sour episode. It's crazy. We haven't all been in the same room. This is going to be, we're doing episodes 49 and 50 at once, but we're starting with episode 49 here. And we're going to start, I believe, Uncle Pete has a beer quote.
I do have a quote. No problem with that. If anybody remembers the Carter administration in the late 70s, Jimmy Carter had a brother named Billy Carter who was a kind of a beer. He was a brewer, actually. He made his own beer, Billy Beer. But let me quote from Billy Carter and say that he said, "There is no such thing as a bad beer. It's just that some taste better than others." And ain't that the truth?
Yeah. I'll agree to that.
Amen.
Yeah, it's kind of our credo here.
As we always say, we're not pretentious. Whether you're a Coors Light drinker or a aficionado, there's room at our table for you. So if you're out there, please crack open a cold one and join us.
Kind of already way ahead of them on that one.
Yeah. We've had a few warm-ups, but you know, it's time to honor somebody. This is the first beer for our sour episode. Is from a brewery that has yet to publicly open, but we're real excited because they will always be dear to our heart because they are the first brewery that actually donated beer to our podcast to be reviewed. So without further ado, I introduce you to you Speciation Artisan Ales from Comstock Park, Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids. And we're very pleased to be among the first people to taste and review their Genetic Drift, which is a American farmhouse saison, open fermented Solera, and we'll get in a little bit more about the beer. Briefly a little bit about their brewery, which is being put together as we speak. The Speciation Artisan Ales takes an evolutionary approach to brewing by using wild and lab cultures to make beer that reflects nature's diversity and creativity. So without further ado, let's pour some Genetic Drift, everybody, and We're very pleased to have Andy with us tonight. As we've often said, we basically delayed the sour episode until she could be with us. She is our sours expert. So everybody take a sip and let's see what we've got here. So the appearance of this beer, it's a nice straw golden color with a very nice, healthy, nice foamy head. Looks very robust, very lively, decent carbonation in this. And it's, for somebody like myself who's not a real sour aficionado, it's very easy to drink. It's nice, got a little bit of a tartness to it. But I'm going to turn this over to Andy, who probably can give a much better evaluation. So go ahead, Andy.
Well, I don't know about a better evaluation because you are good at evaluating, even if you maybe don't like sour as much as I do. It is a American farmhouse, slightly tart, not really funky, maybe a tiny funky. And apparently, this is, they said, Solera method, which is a blending method of different ages, which is pretty common with sour beers. I think it's refreshing, light. I'm not sure what the ABV is, but probably like 4%, something like that.
The ABV is 5.4.
Okay, so it's nice. I like it a lot. Very, I'd say maybe the ABV is high for the style, but I think it goes down easy. It would be kind of a table beer, open with a.
So when you say blended, do you mean different batches from different time periods are blended together?
Different time periods, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to have older. John and I were talking about this earlier, actually. When you blend, you want to have the older beer because it has a different character that's developed, and then blend it with the different aspects of the younger beer. So you usually get a blend master who, I think, usually three different ages, maybe more, depends on your brewery. But
I do have
it. Typical for sours then that they do that, or
it's pretty. It's fairly common. John and I talked extensively on the way here, but places like New Belgium will blend multiple ages to their beers, like La Folie, because the younger beers are sweeter and less funky, and the older beers are some of them are crazy funky, and all the photos, which is what they use, big oak tanks, have different characteristics. So they really want the funky, but they also want the sweet, and you can't do that in one container. So what they do is they blend them, and then at New Belgium, they flash pasteurize, but they don't everywhere. So you still get the sweet and you get the funky. You can get a right. combination of everything when you blend different ages.
Do they typically dedicate some of the fooders for these beers so they keep them separate from ales or other beers that they might be doing at a brewery?
Well, a big brewery like New Belgium, I'm pretty sure all their fooders are sours. Because it's hard. Well, I mean, you can disinfect wood by washing it with very hot water, but you wouldn't really want to do that because when you inoculate the wood with all these microbes, you end up making a more complex beer, and the more you use that barrel, the faster the beer develops as you go along. So it's a good thing to keep that character, and you would never want a sour barrel to interact with your...
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at.
No.
You know, you do your sours and sour barrels and then everything else and something else.
You do not want to put germs in your stouts. I mean, you could, but...
You'd come up with a sour stout.
Which might be good or
might
awful.
Be good, yeah.
Okay, well, I do have a description of this beer on their website. Even though they're not open to the public, they are selling memberships now, and I'm told that they are, even though their tap room isn't yet open, they will have some limited releases on certain Saturdays. So you can follow them on Facebook to find out about memberships and bottle releases in the meantime. But the description for Genetic Drift is an American farmhouse, an American take on the Saison style fermented using wild and lab cultures. We will also use the Solera method, which will allow the organisms and flavors to subtly shift and evolve from batch to batch. Expect fruited and dry-hopped variations. So there you have it. Any other comments, Dugout?
Are these typically aged, for
after
some
bottling?
Periods of time? No. Are they
aged after bottled? Or
bottle conditioned, or are they aged in the barrels?
It completely depends on the thing. And a lot of times, it also adding fruit to it changes how you would condition it.
Yeah.
Because then you have more of the sugar that can be, But you're also the brewer, so you know more about the science of how the sugar. But, yeah, sometimes they will bottle condition it. Sometimes they will not. Sometimes they will, like this one was, it was under some pressure when we opened it, so I suspect that had some residual sugars that fermented in the bottle, and we got a sparkly little beer out of it.
What are some typical fruits that go well with this style?
The biggest one, I'd say the most popular, is probably cherries, Creek. And then raspberries, peaches, strawberries. Blueberries don't seem to be used that much. A lot of people don't have good results with them.
Right.
But cherries are definitely
more tartness characteristic.
Okay, yes.
Cool. I like it. It's to me, it's got a dry finish. I'm sorry, Dugout, but I'm just making a couple comments.
Oh no, I agree with you on the dry finish. It's got a nice tartness and a dry finish. It's not a fruit beer, but I get fruit over to labors like ripe grapefruit and green apples sort of mixed together, and I think it's quite a nice beer.
Yeah, I like it. It has like almost a citrus, you know, the lemony, orangey, grapefruity tart apple. I like it.
Well, a little bit more about the brewery, about the brewers. Speciation Artisan Ales is founded by husband and wife team Mitch and Whitney Ermedinger. Not sure if I pronounced that properly. Speciation is a mixed culture fermentation brewery specializing in wild ales that have been re-fermented in their serving vessel. We intend to provide high-quality sour beer, farmhouse ales, and spontaneously fermented beers to West Michigan. And there's more information on Mitch's backgrounds. He's got quite an extensive brewing background, and complete with been involved in some medal-winning beers. So, be on the lookout. It looks like these guys are up and coming, and I look forward to visiting them once the tap room is open. And again, in the meantime, follow them on Facebook, Speciation Artisan Ales. Just look them up on Facebook, and you can find out how you can get a membership if you're out that way, or about all their upcoming plans. So thank you very much for the donation, and we very much enjoyed your beer, and perhaps we can have you interview you on a future episode so you can tell us all about your exciting new plans.
Yeah, it's the email beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net or at Twitter @beernutspodcast. Get a hold of us. We'll make it happen.
Very good. All right, I guess without further ado, let's go to our next beer. I think this is going to be Dugouts. We might have to do surgery on that with some wax. You know what? We are now going to review Surly Pentagram. Several episodes ago, Andy was kind enough to bring us back lots of treasures from Minnesota, and Surly Brewing is one of the premier breweries in Minnesota. And this is one of their treasures. It's a sour called Pentagram.
Whenever I am in late over in Minneapolis, I make sure to grab a Surly. There's plenty of places to get beer at the airport. And Surly Furious is last couple trips. Made sure I've picked me up one of those.
Yeah, I think in our homebrew day, I did a Surly Furious, if I recall. And that went quick. I mean, we drank that baby up. And
no, I would know what to compare it to 6 months later.
It's gone. I'm sorry, there's no comparison now. But
months later, jeez.
It was a good beer, and the original Surly is certainly worth the trip. If you're in Minneapolis area or you're within the distribution, go get it.
All right. Well, Dugout has successfully removed the wax, and we are now finally pouring some beer. So who would like to review?
Well, I'll just start off with a little bit of information about the beer itself.
Doug. That mic, you're going to have to eat it, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, well, I'd like to start out with a little bit of information about the beer itself. Beer is Pentagram, as we mentioned, from Surly Brewing. It's a Brett Dark Ale, sour, seasonal, bottles and kegs, and this is released in March, so that's I've been sitting on that bottle since then. And
you got to switch on that mic?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on?
Yeah, I'm talking straight into it.
All right. No, it's the mic.
Have to borrow switch with yours.
But that's right. As long as I got this just near you and it was picking you up.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think if we do this plus that, it sounds like you're
like that.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the beer itself. It's Pentagram from as we mentioned, Surly Brewing Company. It's a Brett Dark Ale, sour. It's released in March, so that's pretty much when I got this bottle. It's a really unique looking label on the bottle, and pretty much is satanic, I guess. it's 100% Brett and Yamasee's yeast beer, and it is aged in red wine barrels, and it's a unlike the first one we had, this is the color on it's quite dark.
This is, I think it's a brown ale.
Let's see, two-row pale, dark Munich, Elgin crystal, and chocolate malt.
Mm-hmm. Definitely got a dark color. I mean, that's the first thing I noticed compared to the first one we just had. It's darker, less, you know, light shining through it, hazy, great aroma, slightly different aroma than the first one. Very pleasing aroma, very fruity.
Yeah, I can tell that it's been aged in red wine barrels. There's definitely some red wine characteristics.
Absolutely, I agree with you, JR. From red wine influence.
Well, I just saw on the label, it says 100% Brett dark beer fermented in stainless and aged in used red wine barrels. Brett is a unique yeast strain that produces flavors that would be considered offensive if they were not intentional. Flavors of sour, cherry, tobacco, oak, and classic Brett barnyard funk balanced by dark Munich malt chewiness. Enjoy immediately or age at cellar temperature for a couple years. Unleash Pentagram, you have been warned. It's 6.66% by volume. I guess that's where the satanic thing goes in. But yeah, this is very complex and interesting. And I really get the red wine out of it. That's one of the first things I notice when I taste it. And while I am a still relatively newcomer to the sour scene, I'm enjoying experiencing this.
Definitely the red wine. I mean, if I drank a glass of wine that was nicely oaked, glass of red wine, something that was maybe on the heavier end of the reds, you know, the Zinfandels or the Pinots and the Cabs, I'm getting a lot of oak and some of that deep, rich, you know, hearty red wine characteristic.
It also has a lot of body for sour. Most sour beers are fairly thin, but this has quite a bit of mouthfeel. Just
probably from the Munich malt.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of malt.
Dark malt. So there's the demonic beer of the day.
I'm glad we tried it.
Yeah, this beer has a lot of depth to it. You get sort of this sour caramel almost with it, but really a hardcore tart finish on this.
Yep.
Really, like, if you were new to this and you drank this, you would it'd make you wince.
Yeah, I would think almost if I was drinking it and if I had no experience with wine barrel aged or sour beers, that I would think somebody did something wrong with this beer. You know, it's sat in somebody's garage, and I don't know what it was. But once you develop the taste for it.
Yeah, well, that's what I would be interested to hear Chris's thoughts.
My first impression is you guys nailed it, is wine. That's what my palate's telling me is this is like drinking wine. That's what it tastes like.
Yeah, even on the nose, the aroma, if you take a cork that you just popped from a red wine bottle and put it up to your nose, I get that.
Yeah, I kept smelling it a bunch of times. I'm like, that smells like wine. This is beer. This can't be right.
I agree.
This beer, like a lot of sour beers, ages really well. I really like it when it's a few years old and it's lost some of the malt and it's more a little more funky.
And in a way, I'm happy we're drinking it now. I've been looking at that bottle sitting in my fridge since early spring. And every time I look at it, like, no, that's a bottle you just need to share with people. You'd never just sit down and drink this whole bottle on your own.
Well, I would sit down and drink that whole bottle on my own.
Some people would.
Never well, seen
that's because none of you guys like sours like I do, so I'm always sitting on them until forever.
The next time, call us. We'll be over, okay?
Well, that's you nailed it on the head. I mean, that's exactly why this beer has never been corked before.
Well, I'm glad you shared, Dugout. It's an awesome beer, and it's fun doing these sours. This is kind of off the beaten path for most of us and most of the listeners, probably, but it's a genre of our beer categories that's, you know, worthwhile to go out and explore a little bit. So if you haven't tried the sours, our listeners, you know, please go out and experiment a little bit, and you know, I think you'll be delighted.
Pete, check your switch.
I talked all that time and didn't have my switch off.
No, you still came up, but it sounded like you had to switch off.
All right, so funny but true story about this beer, Pentagram, right? All these satanic references and 6.66. And the guy behind the counter, because this bottle was sitting in a store in Wisconsin behind the counter, and they had like a little sign on it with the price. And I forget what it was. It wasn't exorbitant or anything, but there was a limit of one. And it was the last bottle there. And the guy turns around and he's got these sort of this almost Dracula look to him without all the white paint, but the pointy fingernails. And it was just the strangest thing, asking for the bottle. And he just smiled real weird. And
you had the goth beer guy.
It was goth counter guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's disappearing into a puff of smoke that threw you off, yes. Right? I'll be right back.
He was corrupting you.
All right.
So, yeah, I guess winner, winner, chicken dinner on that one, huh?
I agree.
And the bottle's pretty.
That could be dangerous. That's, wow. It's like drinking wine.
Almost 7%. That's pretty high for most sours, isn't it?
It's very high for sour.
I just think I'd like to turn on some of my wine-drinking friends to that one.
I know my share of winos. They wouldn't be disappointed.
All right.
All right. Well, we're going to move to our next beer. I just opened it with a cage. It had a cage and a cork on it. So we're going to move on to this was my gateway sour beer, the first sour beer that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the bleachers at the Bell's Funvitational, their anniversary party last summer, and there was a lot of great craft beer friends and having a big share. And this young lady sitting next to me came up with a bottle of Cascade Blackberry Sour and said, "Would you like to try this?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I tried it, and it was I was hooked. It was really the first sour beer that I was delighted to try. So I had to have it in this episode, so I actually couldn't find it. They did recently bring Cascade Sours to Michigan, but this particular Blackberry, I couldn't find it, but I was able to secure a bottle through a trade with someone on the West Coast. So without further ado, I introduce you to Cascade Blackberry Ale. You see the bottle here? I believe this one's 7%, which is another strong. Ale aged in oak barrels with blackberries, Northwest-style sour ale. I believe Cascade's from Oregon. Is that correct?
I know it's northern West Coast, but I can't remember where exactly.
It's 7% ABV, so it's a little bit stronger than that Surly.
Oh, hold up. Somebody moved. We had a huge buzz. All right.
Okay. So it is from Portland, Oregon. This bottle-conditioned sour ale is ready to drink now. Serve at 40 degrees. It's probably a little warmer than that now, so sorry for that. But I have just poured myself some, and you can tell it's got like a... Well, it's kind of dark in here, but it looks very effervescent. It almost reminds me of the New Glarus fruit beers. It's got a nice reddish tint to it. So I'm getting a little whiff of this on the aroma. And you can get a little bit of the tartness, sourness, a little bit of fruit. Really not a whole lot on the aroma, but I'm going to go ahead and dive into this and taste it. So this is significantly actually pretty sour compared to the other ones. But what I've found, at least personally, is that the sours that have fruit associated with them, I find that the fruit steers the tartness into a more pleasurable experience for me. So while it is a little bit more sour, and it's puckering up my mouth pretty good here, but the fruit's taken over. I can see there's one of us in the room here is, I guess... pretty puckered up right now. So.
Having some trouble swallowing over here. Not me, but...
So anyway, anybody else want to like to comment on this?
I'll tell you, I get a real saltiness, and sometimes that's a big characteristic of some of the sours, is you get a saltiness to it in your tongue. The tartness is there, definitely, JR, like you said, from the fruit, and the funkiness is there. But I get a lot of salt. I don't know about anyone else. Do you get that? Anybody? Mm-mm.
It's salty, but it's also has this flavor that's so intense. It's like you would dare somebody to bite into, like a green apple or something when you're a kid growing up. It's like that intense.
It has that citric acid, sweet. What are they called? Sour Patch Kids. Those that
that's
kind
what
of.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, where your mouth just closes
and it's sort of tannic in the way it even coats your teeth and.
I think blackberry is just naturally tannic. They always seem to have that funky dryness in anything with lots of blackberries in it.
So it's actually kind of amazing that this would be the first one that I really took to because it's up there in its sourness level.
Well, I think this is like an acetic acid type, which would be the same thing as vinegar, literally, just in smaller concentrations. So that's why it's so...
Well, I stand by it. I still like it.
But what was the first sour you had? I can't remember what it was.
I know that you introduced me to the Rose de Gambrinus.
Oh, yeah. So you started with Cantillon and you hated it.
Well, I'm coming along.
That was my first sour, too.
Was it?
I was like, what the heck is this?
What did you do to me? Yeah, you put a naked lady on a bottle and then gave it to me and it was awful, right?
Well, you got to start somewhere, yeah. Right?
That's good to start at the top, though.
So, well, hopefully I've progressed a little bit, and maybe if I tasted that same beer today, I'd a little bit be a more open-minded. But I remember that when I did taste that, it was intolerable.
That's what I think the fun part of this is, though, is even within the sour category, there's a nice range, okay, mm-hmm. from the light-bodied to fuller-bodied, from the lighter alcohol to the higher alcohol, from the less tart to the more tart. I mean, there's so many characteristics, and the range is it's fun to explore that.
Well, in each one of the ones we've had tonight, every one of them is so remarkably different. Like, you couldn't just lump them into one category. Yes, tart, sour beer, but there's so much difference between each one.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, the speciation was, I mean, that's pretty tame for like a beginner. I think it could actually enjoy that, and it's not too intimidating. I think, you know, amazingly, this one is probably a lot more intimidating.
So say this is the first sour beer you guys have given me where I'm like, whoa, all right, now I know why they're called sours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Doug, I think you hit it on the head. It reminded me of biting into a really tart apple. Like, whoa, hey, like it didn't turn me off, but it's definitely one of those things where I'm going to have to get used to this.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we were also talking about, you know, there's a wide range, you know, and well known to us here in Michigan and throughout the country is Jolly Pumpkin, and they're kind of a mild, like a good starter, a good place to start if you haven't experienced sours and you want to check them out and maybe not be blown away by the sourness level. That's a nice, wouldn't you guys agree that'd be a good starting
I think point? That's a phenomenal brewery, and they have quite a lineup of beers and pretty readily available in most places that I've seen across, you know, quite big parts of the country.
Yes. I would say Bam Bear, which is a farmhouse ale, you could start with that. And if you get it fresh, it's going to be really mild. And if you sit on a couple years, it will develop more flavors. But to start off with, it's a table beer, and it's pretty easy to drink. It's not particularly sour at all.
Yeah. Jolly Pumpkin Bam Bear, that was one of the first I remember tasting in this category.
I love that beer. It's simple, simple.
Yeah, it was very nice. So not disagreeable.
If you want to get something in a can because you want to take it out on the boat or go to the beach with it, you could get a Oarsman from Bell's, which is a Berliner, which is a very mild sour, and I think that's always what I tell people to start with. It's easy to drink. It's like drinking anything else that's slightly, you know, like a lemonade. It's not lemony, but it has only just enough sour for you to notice it. It doesn't overwhelm you. It just kind of works with what you're drinking.
And Brewery Vivant is another mm-hmm. great canned beer, and they do quite a few sours as well.
Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, this is pretty sour. But, you know, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's up there, but I enjoyed it then, and I enjoy it now. So to each his own. Some people in the room, I think, enjoyed this more than others. But, you know, that's why we do shows like this, to expose people to all different kinds of flavors and profiles. So we're going to move to our next beer, which Uncle Pete's going to introduce to us from our friend Ross, who has appeared on the show before from Durham, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, Durham. He is our pipeline to Wicked Weed beers, and I don't think we could possibly do a sour episode without having one of the Wicked Weed's beers. They're well known for great sours, and Ross has been kind enough to send us quite a nice supply of these, so... Uncle Pete picked one out that's pretty good. Unfortunately, Andy will not be able to sample this one because there is almonds in it, and she cannot do nuts. So we're going to be on our own, this guy. We can't rely on Andy for this one. So we'll review.
No problem. We'll help her out.
Take it away, Pete.
We'll help her out. And I've been looking so forward to this one. And we've tried Wicked Weed beers in the past on some of our episodes. And I just love that name, Wicked Weed. I mean, here we are talking about, you know, Pentagram and all this crazy, you know.
Crazy satanic.
Now we're getting into the Wicked
Goth
Weed.
Counter people.
But as we speak, the elections have passed here in November, and the Wicked Weed is becoming less wicked as we go through the course of time. I mean, California.
It's true.
California passed the recreational proposal.
Nevada, Massachusetts,
yeah,
Maine as of 2 days ago. It took them 2 days to count all the ballots. It was that close in Maine.
So let's look forward, everybody out there in our listening land. Maybe we'll look forward to a day where we can do a episode on a genre of beer that has more to do with that hop family member the
closely related.
The cannabinoids and the cannabis.
They look the same.
But let me just not delay any further on this Wicked Weed beer. It's called Mont Moretto. And let me pick that apart a little bit. If you're familiar with cherries, there's a cherry called Montmorency cherry. And then, of course, amaretto is an almond extract kind of a liqueur. So this has cherries and almonds in it. It's barrel-aged, and it's American sour ale, fermented and aged in barrels with cherries and almonds. So I poured it up. I'm going to pass it around, and let me get started looking at it and describing it to you. It had kind of a quick head on it, and it disappeared quickly. It's fairly hazy on the lighter side, and if I had better light, I would imagine this probably has a little bit of pinkness to it, but right now I'm getting mostly copper. And take a whiff. It smells sweet, if you know what amaretto smells like. Very nice. It does have a little tart odor to it, as well as a little sweet almond. And we're going to have a taste. Wow. Very, carbonated with fine bubbles. It's kind of champagne-y to me. I get a nice sour tartness up front. Let me take another taste. Oh, man, the almonds are really there. It's almost like an almond, like if you've been to the bakery and had some, like an Italian almond cookie or something like that.
Or Dutch almond,
banquette. The windmill cookies or whatever.
Banquette that's made with almond paste.
Banquette. Wow, it's present for sure, the almonds and the cherries. I find that it's very juicy at first and then finishes dry for me. But I get a lot of champagne character, and I really enjoy that almond. Anybody else want to kick in?
Well, I think Montmorency cherries, quite prevalent in the upper reaches of state of Michigan near Traverse City. I have a very unique quality to them. They are by nature tart, so they lend well to a sort of really dry, tart, sour beer.
I mean, this is a great after-dinner. Like, if I was at Thanksgiving, which is coming up shortly,
remember, definitely have you can bring a dinner bottle.
Heck, I'd drink this last with episode. The turkey.
Dinner bottle. Drink it with the turkey.
Instead of the cranberry sauce, go with this one.
It's a very drinkable. It's not heavy-bodied. It's in between. It's, I'd say, light to medium. And, I can't find anything disagreeable about this. It's not as sour as the couple we've just had. To me,
I really like the mouthfeel on, like you mentioned, like the champagne, like it's very effervescent, very pleasant to drink, and a nice aroma. I really like how the almonds are kind of in the background, but they're there, like big time, you know. The cherries take the overall, predominant flavor, but the almonds are a really nice complement to the sour cherry. I'm liking this one a lot.
As a Michigander, my first thought was Traverse City when I tasted this. This tastes like something you'd go up to Traverse City and get in the summertime. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, we've had beers here that have had fruit. To have one now that's got some nuts in it and some nut influence with the almond, I mean, you taste some of those cookies or a scone or something that's had the almond extract in it or the almond influence. And I've never had a beer that's had that in it before.
I just caught that almond, and that's it. But yeah, you get more of kind of an amaretto.
Yes.
Kind of.
So it's my first time in all the beers I've ever had really getting an almond influence, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Thanks for that one. What do you think?
I like this one. Yeah. I like this one.
Scott approves.
Yep, Scooter approves.
Some technical notes, guys, real quick. Let's try to keep the mics. Use like your chin as the guide.
Oh, yeah?
You want your air to go over the mic.
Okay.
So we're not breathing into it.
They're
and two, if you keep it right here, you're going to get a good
You gave me the world's heaviest mic, though, I think. This is like a pound and a half of... And it's, that's fine until you...
I'm in the same club, too.
Yeah, until you hold it for 40 minutes. And you're like,
I'll trade with you for the next episode.
Okay, deal.
This isn't a directly...
No.
Well, no, it's just mics in general. You want to keep it just out of your flow of air. And while we're pouring, I just want to make some technical notes to the listeners. Hey, sorry, there might be a few hums here, some background noise there, pop here and there. We're all holding our mics. We're all hand-holding our mics. And, yeah, we're doing this live, so deal with it, listeners. You're getting free entertainment. All right.
Okay, well, I guess it's time for our next beer. And Andy's got the next two. We saved the her two beers for the grand finales here. So what do we got here, Andy?
This is a beer by August Schell, which is a traditional German-style brewery in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, New Ulm, Minnesota, actually. It is a raspberry Berliner. It's called Frambois du Nord. It's a Berliner is a sour beer, but it's more of a German style. And it is different from other styles of sour beer because you add the lactobacillus to the wort. You do not add it later. You do not inoculate it later. It's added during the brewing as opposed to after you've done with it. So it's a very clean style. It's not funky. It should keep its fruitiness, and it should be slightly sour. But it should never be, like, taste all those funky flavors people describe, like barnyard and horse blanket. It should just be tart, just like yogurt should be tart. And this is about, I think this is about 3 years old. So it's quite old for a Berliner, but it's still pretty fresh.
Oh, wow.
I think it rocks.
Yeah.
Raspberry in it is so forward, but it's got this beautiful, delicate sweetness to it. Almost a balance, but it's really tipped more towards sour than sweet, but the sweet is there.
I like this beer a lot. I think Berliners are my favorite. If I had to drink one beer forever, probably I would stick with Berliner. They're light and refreshing, and they can vary so much. And this one is so raspberry-y, so real raspberry-y. You know, not I'm having a, you know, a Jolly Rancher. It actually tastes like raspberry.
Well, and generally the Berliners are low ABV. And what is this, about in the 3 range?
I don't know. The bottle's in front of you.
I'll check it in a second. But, you know, those are great summer beers where you can...
check it now.
Great for great for the summer.
Put your granny glass
on. And I got two. So they're great beers for the summer because you can actually drink a few of these and, you know, not be falling over when it's 95 degrees out. So that's what I would really love, to have a beer like this.
And it's also nice because these beers, especially like this, for example, are nice cold still. You don't have to wait for it to warm up to experience all the flavors. This tastes great when it's cold.
Yeah, John, the first thing I thought about when I tasted this would have been great about 4 or 5 months ago. We were pushing 90. This is good.
I think this is an any time, though. I mean, this is, if you're a raspberry fan and you like a little tartness in your beer, this really comes kind of close to a mead in some respects as far as the sweetness and the fruit forwardness of it.
I think it showcases the raspberry like a mead would, in that it doesn't seem to add raspberry. It's almost like the rest was added to the raspberry.
Yeah, as a home brewer, I'd be interested to know, how do they get this raspberry? I've tried raspberries numerous times in different beers of my own. You know, a pound per gallon or whatever kind of a guideline. And I never seem to get this forward raspberry fruitiness in my home brews. And I would love to figure out how to do that. This one definitely hit it for me. I mean, if I could make one that tasted like this, I would do it. And it's light-bodied, it's fruity, it's pleasant. It's an anytime beer dugout, I agree with you. And it's not as sour as all of the ones we've had so far, but it's kind of, you know, I get a little twinge of it. I like it. I love it.
I think something like this is a great starter beer for sour somebody who's...
Oh, definitely.
Get it in. Drinking sours.
So I cannot find the ABV on the label. It's not listed, but I do have some information to read here from a little tag that came along with it. So I'll read Frambois du Nord, Noble Star Collection. The Noble Star Collection is the August Schell Brewing Company's interpretation of traditional Berliner Weiss beers. A Berliner Weiss is often served with a shot of raspberry syrup stirred in to cut down on the intense sourness, turning it into a refreshingly sweet sour beverage. Frambois du Nord, the second release in the Noble Star collection, puts a unique twist on this tradition by re-fermenting our Berliner Weiss with raspberries similar to a fruit lambic. 5,000 pounds of raspberries were added to Star of the North, the first Berliner Weiss beer released in the Noble Star collection. It then fermented for an additional 4 months. The result is a remarkably vibrant and flavorful beer that is refreshingly tart, dry, and bursting with raspberry flavor. This beer was hand-filled and bottle-conditioned to allow the flavors to continue to develop and evolve in the bottle. Enjoy this unique rendition of a Berliner Weiss chilled in a... Can't read that glass.
Yeah, I forgot, you know, when you were speaking about all that, JR, I forgot that a lot of times, traditionally, if you have a Berliner Weiss, you can request to have a fruit syrup with it to mix in and enjoy. And that's a traditional, you know, drink that you could have. Now, this one sounded like, from your description, that they actually had added raspberries to the fermentation, which is good. I like that as a home brewer. But, you know, I've not sat in any breweries or, you know, even when I've been in Europe, I've not sat and had a Berliner Weiss with a syrup. Someday I'd like to do that. Has anybody else done that?
I've seen it offered, but I haven't taken it up.
Right, so that's something we should try. I mean, that's an interesting opportunity.
Something I've only read about.
By the way, it says P-O-K-L, glass.
Pokal glass.
Pokal.
So, sorry, it was a foreign term to me, but so I guess that's the official Berliner Weiss glass.
The at least for this glass. Brewery.
We want a Pokal glass.
Whatever that means, I'd like to find out.
And if you're a home brewer, like Uncle Pete, or you're just somebody who thinks that sour beers are really cool and you want to learn a whole bunch of Latin, there is a book, and I'm not, I don't know this person at all, but there's a great book called American Sour Beers, which will give you a huge history of sour beers, tell you all the different ways you can make them, and give you stories and recipes and help you out with how to make sour beer at home.
Well, there you go. Okay, I guess we're about to embark on our last selection of the sour episode, and we saved the best for last. I know that the Cantillon name is legendary in the sour world, probably known to be the king of kings of the sours, and as Andy mentioned before, there was a... The first sour I ever had was one of these. Not this exact beer, but from the same brewery. And at that time, I found it repulsive. So I'm really hoping that I'm going to enjoy this one.
Honesty.
How do you really feel?
Yeah.
That's what we like here on the program. Well,
that seems like a long time ago because I practiced.
That last one was good. I don't
like to think my palate has developed.
But that tasted like raspberries right off the plant.
Yeah.
I wonder if they puree it. They like raspberries. Okay, so... Cantillon, classic, famous, old school, open fermentation brewery in Brussels, Belgium. And this is Bio, which is the Guise Lambic, or Goose, or Hoos, or however you say it, because there's four different languages that I've learned how to say that in, and I don't say any of them properly, but there are different pronunciations for Flemish, Dutch, and French. So, whatever you call it, it's a blend of different ages of lambic from the Cantillon Brewery, which is open fermented, which means it's a wild fermentation. They don't add stuff. They let the environment add it. And it's probably one of my favorite beers. I don't know how old the bottle is, though. It has two of the cork. It's 2012.
So you say it's an open fermentation, so it's all natural.
It's all natural.
Bacterias and yeasts and whatever likes to get in there.
I think Cantillon uses cool ships, which is basically like a big tray, like if you boiled maple sap.
Shallow.
Shallow, wide, and then you blow air over it and let it hang out.
Right. Interesting.
What's the flavoring in it, though?
There isn't any.
None.
They use hops, you know, the same thing you use for regular beer. And then it all matters on whatever yeast and bacteria hang out.
Now, I have read where the natural yeast is characteristic to the age of the buildings and the barns and the cobwebs and the dust all creates a very specific environment for them. So they don't clean,
they don't
sanitize any parts of the inside of the building because that's what actually
creates
the
yeast. That's their little
ecosystem.
Right.
And places like Cantillon have been around for so long, and things like Cantillon does not, when they do their cool ships, they don't cool things unnaturally. They actually wait till the right temperature of the year to do their brewing. So they don't brew just every day they feel like brewing because they don't have the same temperature control a modern American brewery would have. So this year I think they actually had to wait longer because they had a warmer summer.
If I had to say, you know, out of all the sours we had tonight, this one has the most barnyard and horse blanket characteristic to me out of all of the ones we've had so far.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also...
Not disappointed in it, but that is what it is, and it's good.
It's also the most sophisticated of all the ones that we've had tonight. It just has the most layers to it. Like each sip, you're getting something different after that.
And it has pretty tiny little bubbles.
Very very complex, like Doug out said, I agree. There's a lot of different layers and flavors to this.
This is also the oldest beer we've had, though. This was bottled in 2012, so it was probably, some of it's probably 6 years old.
Can you get this locally, or do you have to search it out? How do you come across these?
This, if you're in Michigan, you might get really lucky, like one of us did recently, and find a Shelton Brothers delivery. But the ads are really, really good. You're not going to find this ever. This actual bottle is from Belgium. I actually shipped it here. So this is the Belgian version. There's no warning labels that say you shouldn't drink it or, you know, drive or anything like that. It's just the original from there. So it's hard to find, but I mean, if you're into the beer trading, I'm sure you could find it.
And one thing about the body on this beer is I think it was the Pentagram that had really the thickest of the maltiest, but this, as far as viscosity, would you say, it's really close
to it. The mouthfeel is great.
It's got a pretty thick, syrupy feel to it.
But there's so many things here I'm trying to pick out, and there's a balancing act between probably half a dozen different things I'm trying to pick out. You know, between there's citruses, and there's barnyard, and there's
horse blanket
and saltiness, and there's, I don't get a lot of malt necessarily, but I get bitterness from hops.
Now, am I wrong in thinking that with Goose, would they use candy sugar in this, Belgian candy sugar, and... is that correct, or
not that I know
I don't
of.
Get it. I don't in my.
I think that's
palate.
More of a quad type thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could check it out.
My understanding, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, Andy, is the Goose is a blend of different years and different same beer, only from different vintages. And
yes, and it's only that term's only for Belgian beer, only for Belgian blended lambics. Lambics, it's it. You can't use it on any other thing. That's what it's only applies to.
Because I would venture to guess that because of the proprietary nature of the yeast, the wild yeast that is, you know, cultured at the brewery, like you said, you know, you could never really try to emulate this with a homebrew because...
Well, you could culture it from the beer.
Well, that's true, but...
And actually, in Belgium, which we talked about this about something else, there are places that do sell partway through the brewing process before it's put in a barrel. And the Brasserie Cantillon is one of those places. They do sell to a couple other places. I think there are quite a few breweries that sell partially finished beer to other breweries, and then the other brewery sits on it and blends it. So it's a totally different way to make beer in Belgium. Very traditional. And they never had the... pasteurization revolution like we did in the United States, so things just didn't change for years and years and years. But we had Louis Pasteur and wrote a nice article about how to get diseases out of your beer, and Americans stopped having any sour beer. They learned how to pasteurize, and that's what we did, and no brewery apparently in the United States survived prohibition, and another one didn't pop up until the 90s, so that did sour beer.
Ooh.
I know.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, really.
That's like 70 years?
Wow. Yeah, I think they said the first sour beer they documented since Prohibition in the United States was 1995, and then in 1999, New Belgium came along and started going crazy.
And now it's very commonplace in uncommon places, so to speak.
Yep.
Where, for example, I believe we've reviewed some Upland beer before, and that was actually a sour. That was one of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
It was a hopped-up sour. And Upland had built their own sour house, and they're doing it the traditional way with the containers and somewhat control the environment, but still have it piled.
Yeah. Upland is really cool. A lot of, I think, people that are into beer, Upland is smack you over the head with sour most of the beers.
Is it in Wisconsin?
Upland? Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Indy,
okay.
And Bloomington, they have two places. Brew. I don't think they both brew, but they have two locations. And the really cool thing about Upland is they also do, they have something called the Secret Barrel Society, which is a membership club just like a lot of other places, but they take the money from that and they do some really cool stuff and experiment with their beer. And I remember hearing a speech from one of the brewers there because I actually went to a presentation and they did all these different barrels and they were French oak and they did these different little bevels in the French oak barrels and they played with this and then they blended them and they tell you all about what they do and they have a good old time. So, I mean, they do have a lot of really, really ridiculously sour beers, but they also have some really complex kind of cool things.
Didn't you travel overseas, Andy, and go to Belgium and you know, yeah, firsthand pick up some Cantillon?
No, I did go to Belgium and I did go to Brussels, but I did not go to Cantillon because I was accidentally in Brussels. But I did get a lot of Cantillon in London. Of all the places, they actually had a little case, which you will all find hilarious, behind the bar, locking case. And they had Cantillon and they had, I think, like some Oogies or something. And then they had like Founders All Day IPA and Stone.
In a locked case?
In a locked case. Ah, I was like, how much is that? And he's like, £8 for like a Founders All Day IPA.
Oh,
I'm like,
man,
do you realize I can get like a 15 pack for like $11? And they thought it was the best thing ever. I went to like a craft beer bar and they had All Day IPA on tap and they were all like,
it,
you know, and they were like, it ran out. I'm like, that's okay. I can get that. But Cantillon, I have pictures. Every day at lunch, I'd have one of the 375s of Rose de Gambrinus, just like casually with my lunch. It was great.
Fabulous. In London.
In London, wow. Yeah. Actually in Greenwich, so, yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That was a beautiful beer.
I like that beer.
Well, I think we ran the gamut here. We've had a very nice cross-section of a diverse training on the sours today. And what about you, Chris? Are you enlightened?
Oh, yeah. Definitely opened up a whole other style for me to try. I got to say we're going to do beer of the week and stuff, right? I'll save my favorite for then. But no, this is, I think you guys psyched me out. I was expecting a lot more just from doing the show for over a year now, just hearing you guys talk about sours. It sounded a little intimidating, but once I actually tasted them, they're good. I'm looking forward to trying more sours.
Just beer.
That gives me an idea, though, for a new episode. I think we should maybe do, like, extreme beer, like all the extreme versions of the styles.
Oh.
Because I'm thinking of a couple sours that are just, you know, a lot.
And, like, Devil Dancer.
Yeah.
To be.
And there's so many stouts.
120-minute.
Yeah.
120 and worldwide stout.
Like Sink the Bismarck, is that the one that's like 69%?
Well, I didn't think it got any better than Higher Mass. Oh, we had one of those.
I see the other day on a shelf, it was like 17.9%.
Yeah.
It was sitting on a shelf. And I think I was in Ohio, and I'm like, oh, no, 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 no.
I like the extreme beer idea. I know we've dabbled with a few. We've dabbled.
We've already had the Westy
12 already, remember? We did that one, so.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Christopher, because you know what? That's what we're trying to do. That's one of the points of the show, is to get people to open up their eyes that, you know, there is a lot of different beers and styles out there. So if you just keep an open mind and keep trying things, you'll find some new things and new experiences and new liquids to enjoy. So I guess we are to that point where we're going to go around the room and everybody, we'll start with our beer of the week, Uncle Pete. So glad to have you back. Why don't you start it off with your beer of the week?
Well, they were all very good. It's been a pleasure to try this style of beer, the sours category. My favorite was the last one we just had, was the Cantillon. It had a complexity, it had a balance, it had a depth of flavors. I think that was really representative to me of everything that's good about that category. So I'm going to go with that one.
I would probably go with the Cantillon. Just because I think it's just so classically representative of the style of beer and such a good example of the style of beer. It has everything you want. But I would give a good honorable mention to the raspberry, just Berliner from August Shell, just because it's so raspberry-y.
Very good. Okay.
All right. I think I'm going to have to agree with Andy. The Cantillon is just, that's what you're looking for, and that's, I guess flavor-wise, it's complex. There's the layers to it. It just very distinct, sort of, you know, that's a benchmark beer. So when you think of a style, you think of you know, Cantillon always has to come to mind when you think of sour beers. But really a big shout out to the Wicked Weed, Montmoretto. I mean, a couple of my favorite things, Montmorency cherries and almonds, and that beer kind of nailed it for me in a really nice way with both flavors just tying in perfectly together.
Chris?
I'm going with this, the Raspberry Berliner, the Framboise du Nord, I believe as the label says. That was, I could see putting a bottle of that back myself, let alone having to share it. But, you know, I think I could, that was, to me, that was my favorite. And same thing with Doug, honorable mention to the Wicked Weed. That reminded me of Traverse City and cherries and summertime, and that was really good.
Yeah, I had to pour a second glass just to put it up against the Cantillon, and it was tough. But
well, you know, it was tough for me. There's three here that I wish I could vote for all of them as a tie, but, you know, I still like the Cascade Blackberry. I mean, that's a real pucker, but I just really like the fruit in it. And the Cantillon was very impressive compared to several years ago, when I probably didn't know what I was doing when I tasted the other one. But I have to go with the Wicked Weed, just because if I'm looking at all these and I'm saying, if I could have a bottle of this to take home, a fresh new bottle, that was the one I probably want the most, because I just thoroughly enjoyed it. So with a very, very photo finish to the Cantillon. And again, another shout out to my Cascade Blackberry, which I will continue to revere. So that being said, as probably it is right and just, as we would say, to say the beer of the week is the Cantillon.
Fair enough.
So
yeah, it's a good win for it. I mean, they're just, you know,
they're
the benchmark of what
they are, the iconic benchmark of the style. And yeah, ask any sour connoisseur, and you know, there's a reason that they rarely ever hit the shelf, because people follow the trucks, you know, when they're delivered, and that's how sought after these beers are. And you have to go to a lot of effort to get them, and it's because they're world class. I mean, and they really are. So, but thank you very much for sharing with us, Andy.
You're welcome.
Very kind of you to bring that into our world here. And so now we'll go to Brewery of the Week. We'll go the other way. We'll start with Chris.
I'm going
to
go with Cascade. I mean, number one, I have soft spot in my heart for the Portland area, but number two, the fact that there was a beer that made me recoil but want to keep drinking more of it, man, that's just compelling. So props to Cascade Brewery. That's my pick.
All right, Doug. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Wicked Weed, because there's just so much stuff from them that you get, and it's not necessarily the sour style, but some of their other styles that everything that comes out of that place just seems to blow you away. And, you know, I think that beer stacked, the beer we had tonight, stacked up well with anything we've had. Just props to them, you know, just coming out of Asheville, North Carolina, and just knocking the world, setting the world on fire with all their beers.
Yeah, they're relatively new to the scene, and they're really doing some great stuff. So, okay, good pick, Andy.
I would have to go with Dog on the Wicked Weed. I didn't get to enjoy this one because of the evil almonds in it, but they have so many good beers that I absolutely love. I mean, anytime I see one, my eyes light up because I know it's going to be great. It's consistently great, and it's consistently diverse. So I would agree with Doug.
I'm not going to stray. Wicked Weed for Uncle Pete here. I know in past episodes we've had some Wicked Weeds, particularly the Pernicious, if you remember that one, was an American IPA that we had. And I know that I've tasted some other Wicked Weed sours, Black Angel Cherry Sour and Oblivion, which was a Flanders Red. So as everybody's mentioned so far, Wicked Weed does have a lot of variety, and they do have a leaning on the sours, and I'm going to give them the Brewery of the Week, so...
All right, well, I'd like to mention a couple different breweries before I give my vote. First of all, thank you to Speciation Artisan Ales for donating the beer. I very much enjoyed that, and now that they're very close to opening, and I'm very anxious to experience more of their beers and see what they're about. So I want to just give them a shout-out. I'm not going to vote for them as Brewer of the Week, but I want everybody to be excited as I am to
embrace them when they open and see what they're all about, because I did thoroughly enjoy that first beer that we tried, and I look forward to the next one. Secondly, honorable mention to Cascade. I wanted to vote for them for Beer of the Week just because I love the Blackberry, but that being said, I really haven't tried a whole lot of other of their beers, so it's almost unfair for me to give them Brewery of the Week. And the reason I'm not voting for Cascade is I have had plenty of Wicked Weed beers and have never, ever been disappointed by any of their offerings. And this, you know, the one we had tonight was phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed it. Like I said, it was my Beer of the Week because, you know, I'd love to have another bottle of this, and I'll be asking my buddy Ross to see if he can round me up some more. But so I'm going to go with Wicked Weed, and I believe that we do have a consensus. So Brewery of the Week goes to Wicked Weed in North Carolina. So,
woohoo! Thanks, Wicked Weed.
Any other closing comments before we wrap up episode 49?
Win this glass.
Win this glass.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm down to like one glass left.
Ooh.
I have to order more. So,
final.
Hey, there's one left. You could be the winner of the last glass of this batch.
This is where the reboot comes in, probably, right? The Beer Nuts / Michigan Beer Guide. Beer glasses.
We're going to make it bigger and better.
Yes.
So we'll have a different logo combining with our Christopher Media, and, you know, it'll be a Beer Nuts glass instead of a Michigan Beer Guide glass.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody who has listened, who has downloaded, who has shared. Apparently, we're gaining steam. I don't know what happened in October, but right on. So thanks to everybody who's listening, who's downloading, who is sharing at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Instagram, Beer Nuts Podcast at ChristopherMedia.net. If you'd like to email the show, just thank you to everybody who's listened, downloaded. If you like it, tell a friend. Apparently, the craft beer community likes us and is sharing us. So thanks to everybody for that.
One more thing, brewers out there, feel free to send us more free beer, because Speciation, you always have a soft spot in our heart for being the first to donate us beer to be reviewed. So, brewers, come on, reach out to us. We want more of your beer.
Bring it on.
So, and the best way to get yourself on the podcast.
And don't offer money. We're not interested in money, all right? We want a fair and honest review of your beer, all right? So let's just kill that right away, all right?
All right, well, as they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.